light of guidance, the 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 light of guidance.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله The Prophet of mankind, the peace of our hearts and mind, the most generous and kind sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, the one who recites salat 100 times on the night and day of Friday, Allah azza wa jal will fulfill 100 of his needs, subhanallah, 70 of the hereafter and 30 of this world, subhanallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Marhaba, khushamdeed, welcome to one and all to another exciting and beautiful silsila of our lovely series, The Light of Guidance. Alhamdulillah, we are coming to you from a very beautiful park in Benoni, South Africa. Alhamdulillah, and we can see around us there is nature, there's a beauty of nature. Alhamdulillah, at the moment now around me, I can see the beauty of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person looks at these trees, the grass, and the atmosphere around, one thing comes up from his mouth, and that is Alhamdulillah. A person thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he says, Allahu Akbar, look how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. I mean, he created these trees, these plants, this earth and everything. Subhanallah, subhanallah, what a beautiful creation this is. Undoubtedly, if we spend our entire lives in sajda and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these bounties, our lives will definitely come to an end. But the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never, ever, ever come to an end. Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. Let's make some good intentions before we discuss today's topic. And alhamdulillah, I was just discussing this beautiful hadith which I mentioned in the beginning, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, Allah, Allah, that, you know, the one who recites salat 100 times on the night and day of Friday, Allah azza wa jal will fulfill 100 of his needs. How beautiful is this hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I mean, this is regarding the day of Friday. But we all know every day, every moment, every time, whenever a person, you know, gets a chance, he should recite salat and salam upon the beloved and noble Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because there are so many benefits and so many blessings of reciting durood, salutations, salawat and salam upon the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's all recite together, Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned a very beautiful hadith, Niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalih. The intention of a believer is better than his action. The more good intentions you make, the more reward you will attain from the exalted court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's say good intentions such as when I hear the name of Allah, I will say Jalla Jalaluhu wa ta'ala or subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, I will praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I hear the name of the beloved and noble Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will say sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. When I hear the name of the Sahaba Ikiram, I will say radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. When I hear the name of the blessed Awliya Ikiram, the blessed pious personalities, I will say rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. This is the beauty of Islam, that Islam does teach you to teach the knowledge to others as well, to spread the knowledge, to make sure that you, whatever you are learning, you are passing on to others as well. This is what Islam teaches you. Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. Let's make good intentions and now say Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Salatu wa salamun alayki ya sayyidi ya habibi ya Rasulullah sallallahu ala Muhammad nurin min nurillah. Subhanallah. My dear Islamic brothers, Muhammad bin Ghassan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, the Qazi of Kufa, he says that one day on the day of Eid al-Adha, I went to my mother where I saw an old woman wearing old, torn and worn out clothes. I liked her style of conversation. So I asked my mother about the woman. She said she is your aunt, Ania. the mother of the minister of Harun Rashid, Jafar bin Yahya Barmaki. I said salam to her, and in return she replied to my salam. I inquired about her and asked about her present condition. She replied, O son, I spent my life heedlessly and remained busy wasting time. The time has gone far away from me. I said, describe any event of your glorious time. She started saying, why not? I am relating a short event by which you may judge my glory and dignity. Furthermore, she said, 3 years ago, on the occasion of Eid al-Adha, I had 400 scarves. As a part of custom, my son sent me the heads of 1,400 billy goats and 300 oxen. In addition, there were also jewelry, dresses, etc. Despite this, I thought that my son was disobedient, and today my state is such that I have come to you to get the skins of 2 billy goats so that I can prepare my dress from them. Allah Allah. Qazi Sahib said, after hearing her story of downfall, I grew very sad and I started weeping. That time, whatever dinars I had, I gave her as a gift. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Nahi darkar wo khushiyan jo ghaflat ka bane sama. Nahi darkar wo khushiyan jo ghaflat ka bane sama. Ata kar apni ulfat apne pyare ka tu gham mola. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. My dear Islamic brothers, surely the person who loves the worldly blessings, he falls prey to heedlessness of the hereafter. And heedlessness makes a person bold on committing sins, makes a person bold on disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Heedlessness prevents a person from performing virtuous deeds, from doing good actions, from obeying Allah and His beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When a person becomes heedless, he becomes negligent, he becomes ghafil, then, you know, he turns away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Undoubtedly, this job, this wealth, this house, this car, everything you have, everything is a bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the moment these bounties start taking you away from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this ni'mat, in Urdu we say this ni'mat will become a zahmat, means now this great bounty has now become a burden upon you. Why? Because this bounty was supposed to take you closer to Allah, but vice versa is happening. This bounty is turning you away from the court of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the 9th ayah of Surah Munafiqun, 28th para, Allah Ta'ala mentions, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la tulhikum amwalukum wala awladukum an zikrillah wa man yaf'al dhalika fa'ulaika humul khasirun. Translation from Kanzul Iman, Allah Ta'ala says, O people who believe, may not your wealth or your children cause you to neglect the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whoever does this, Allah Allah, so it is they who are in loss. Allah, Allah, Allah. In this blessed ayah, the Muslims are being advised that, O believers, like the hypocrites, your wealth and your children might make you heedless of the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one who does something like this, Allah, that is, he forgets his religion after being occupied with the world, he does not care for his present after falling in love with his wealth, and he remains heedless of the hereafter. What's the outcome of that person? Ulama Ikram have mentioned that he will suffer a loss, because such people do not care for the eternal blessings of the hereafter for the sake of the mortal world. Why? Because the hereafter is a place where you are supposed to be preparing for. You're not going to stay in this world forever. You're never going to live in this world forever. Nobody can claim that I am here and I will remain here and forever I will remain here. No. There is a limit. Today you are here, tomorrow you are not here. Today you are here 10, 15 years down the line, you're not going to be here. Today you are here 50 years down the line, you're not going to be here. There will come a time where me, you, every person on this earth, on this universe, has to leave this world. And the hereafter is, you know, that time where there is no end. We are going to live there forever. So a wise person will prepare. A wise person will make a decision. Some place where you don't have to stay forever. And a place where you have to stay forever, a wise person will prepare for the hereafter. He will strive to move towards the hereafter, to move towards the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what a wise person will do. I mean, take an example of today's time. Let's say a person stays in South Africa. And you know, for 2-3 weeks he moves to a different country. Let's say he moves to America, for example. As soon as he goes to America, he is there for 2-3 weeks, and he starts buying a fridge, he starts buying a car, he starts buying a house, he starts buying furniture. And somebody asks him, Madrat, what are you doing? And he says that, you know, I'm here for 2-3 weeks, so I need all of these things here. So the first thing a person will say that, you know, you are a fool. You don't have to stay here forever. You're just here for 2-3 weeks. You are a traveler. So if you want to buy these things, buy it for your house. Buy it for your place in South Africa. And the money you're going to spend on buying here, spend that money and buy your things for your house, which you are going to stay there. That's your place of your residence. This world, every believer is a musafir. You are a traveler in this world. You're not going to stay here forever. But the way we are living, the way we are preparing ourselves, the way we are doing everything is as if we will be here forever. We want every luxury, we want every bounty, we want everything, we want, you know, all sorts of the comforts of the world. Allahu Akbar. Yes, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted that to somebody, that's his great fortune, that's the bounty of Allah Ta'ala, that's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But let not that bounty turn you and divert you away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If that bounty is taking you towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it's excellent. You have lots of wealth, and that wealth is taking you towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then great, it's excellent for you. You have a great house, you have great furniture, you have a good car, whatever it is, and that is taking you towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you are excellent. But the moment those things divert you away from the zikr of Allah, then you must know, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Yes, now you are in loss, and very, very, very severe and big loss. Allahu Akbar. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, really put it in our hearts that we have the jazbah, the enthusiasm, the love of going towards the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen, ameen, ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allahu Akbar. In ayah 10 and 11 of Surah Munafiqoon, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions very beautifully, وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتُ فَيَقُولَ رَبِّ لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ فَأَصَّدَّقَ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ وَلَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا وَاللَّهُ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Translation from Kanz al-Iman: and spend from what we have provided you before death approaches any one of you. And he then says, my Rabb, why did you not give me respite for a little while so that I could give charity and become amongst the virtuous? Allah, Allah. And Allah Azza wa Jal will never give respite to any soul when its promise arrives, and Allah Azza wa Jal is aware of your deeds. How beautifully Allah Ta'ala is mentioning to you that you have this wealth, you have these bounties, then spend this wealth in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Use these bounties to take you close to Allah. Allah Ta'ala is mentioning that, you know, when death will approach you, then a person will say, Ya Allah, why didn't you give me little time, little chance? I mean, the entire world you had, the entire lifetime you had, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, 100 years, whatever it was that not your chance? Didn't you know that, yes, you have to leave this world and go? Didn't you know that, yes, you have to prepare for that year after? Didn't you know that this was your time where you are just staying here for a short while? You are going to leave. You will have to leave. Didn't you see people leaving this world? Didn't you attend the janaza salas? Didn't you attend the different, you know, places where people were leaving this world and they were being buried? Didn't you see all of those? Didn't you witness all of that? Didn't you receive news that so-and-so person left this world, this person left this world, this person left this world? Didn't you witness all of that? What was that? Those were signs that today he is going, tomorrow it's your turn. Tomorrow he left, he didn't take his wealth with him, he didn't take his car with him, he didn't take his house with him. Tomorrow that's going to be your situation as well. You're not going to take your car with you, you're not going to take your wealth with you, you're not going to take your house with you in that grave. The only things which you are going to take with you is your deeds, your good deeds, your bad deeds, whatever you did, whatever actions you have done, whatever you have earned from the court of Allah, that's going to go with you in the grave. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions very, very, very beautifully that a person will say, Allah, why didn't you give me a chance? Why didn't you give me some respite? Allahu Akbar. And Allah Azza wa Jal will never give respite to any soul when its promise arrives. Once the time comes, there is no second delay. It won't come a second earlier. It won't come a second late. If your time comes to leave this world, at that moment, you will leave this world. You will leave this world. And once you leave this world, then The person will be worried. What did I do? So quickly it's time. I was planning to do this. I was planning to move around the world. I was planning to do this, to do that. I said I will perform salah when I reach the age of 40. I said I will start giving sadaqah when I reach an elderly age. I said I will start fasting in a month of Ramadan once I retire from my job. I said I will do this in the future. I said I will do this tomorrow, inshallah. I will start performing salah tomorrow. Did that tomorrow come? Did that time come? Did that moment come? No. Before that moment arrived, you have left this world. Before that moment arrived, your time came to leave this world. Then why were you spending this time in heedlessness? Why were you spending all this time in ghaflat? Why were you negligent of this beautiful time which you were spending in this world? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Very beautifully, Sayyidina Abu Bakr bin Abdullah Muzni, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, has mentioned, a person from Bani Israel accumulated wealth. When the time of his death came, so he said to his son, show me my different possessions. Many horses, camels, slaves were brought to him. And he looked at them and started weeping. He started crying. And Malik al-Maut alayhi salam saw him weeping. So he alayhi salam said, why are you crying? Why are you weeping? By the one who has given you all this, I will not leave until I separate your soul from your body. I'm here to separate your soul. I'm here to take your ruh. That is my duty. I'm going to do it. By the one who gave you all this, means by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I won't leave until I remove your soul. Allah, Allah, Allah. The person said, give me some respite. Give me some chance. Give me some time so that I can distribute this wealth. The angel replied, now you will get no respite. You'll get no chance. Why didn't you do this work before your death? Then Malik al-Maut alayhi salam seized his soul. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Be wafa dunya pe mat kar aitbaar, tu achanak maut ka hoga shikar. Maut aakar hi rahegi yaad rakh, jaan jaakar hi rahegi yaad rakh. Teri taqat tera fan, ohda tera kuch na kaam aayega, sarmaya tera. Kar le toba, rab ki rahmat hai badi, qabr mein warna saza hogi kari. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Imam Muhammad bin Muhammad bin Muhammad al-Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala has mentioned that Sayyidina Shaykh Abu Ali Daqqaq rahmatullahi ta'ala said, a great pious saint rahmatullahi ta'ala was very ill. So I went to inquire after him. I saw his students sitting around him. And this great saint, this pious wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was weeping. So I humbly asked, O Shaykh, are you weeping for the world? He replied in a negative and said, I'm weeping for missing salah. I asked, you used to worship abundantly, then how do you miss your salah? Allah Allah, he replied, whenever I performed sajda, I was heedless. And whenever I lifted my head from sajda, I was heedless. And now I am dying in the state of heedlessness. This is the way the awliya-i kiram were, the pious people were, the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That their salah used to be perfect, their actions used to be perfect. But in there they used to feel that, oh, we are heedless, we are not doing, you know, our duty properly, we are not worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were. Allahu Akbar. This was the tradition of the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that every moment and every time they would find something in which they would weep out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would cry out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. This was the reason why, you know, their hearts were inclined towards ibadah, towards worship, towards the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because their hearts became soft out of the fear of Allah. Their hearts were soft due to weeping so much, due to worrying, due to taking so much worry about the hereafter, due to thinking and pondering about the hereafter. This is how every believer was supposed to be. This is how every mu'min was supposed to be. What is a slave supposed to do? A slave doesn't, you know, do anything without the permission of his master. A slave doesn't do anything which goes against his master. A slave doesn't do anything which will earn the displeasure of his master. A slave doesn't move around like he is the master. No, no, he is a slave and he remains a slave. People claim and they verbally say, yes, we are the bondsmen, the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but their actions are not like slaves. They were supposed to only eat that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted them. No, they are even eating that which causes displeasure of Allah. They were supposed to drink that only which Allah Ta'ala has permitted them. No, they want to drink everything which they desire, everything which they want. They were supposed to do business as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed them. No. They want to do in every way, every haram way, every way which displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were not supposed to do as per their will. They were supposed to control their desires. They were supposed to do this, not do that. They were supposed to save themselves from that place, from that position, from that situation, from that specific thing. But no. So they claim they are slaves of Allah, but they are doing it as their own will. That's not how a slave is supposed to be. If you claim you are a slave of Allah, if you say you are Abdullah, do the actions as a slave is supposed to do. Means you're not supposed to do anything on your own free will. Do everything in accordance to the teachings of Allah and the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, everyone says Allah Ta'ala Razzaq, He is the one who gives us sustenance, He is the one, you know, who gives us our food, our water, our wealth, whatever it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us that. Yes, every person says this. Every person will utter it. Every person will say it to you. That no doubt. But he says, look at their hearts, look at what their actions are doing. Their hearts are not satisfied without accumulating the world and the possessions of the world. If Allah Ta'ala is giving you the risk, then put your trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, you want each and every penny in this world. You want each and everything in this world. Till then you are not satisfied. And that's how human beings are. That if you have one thing, you will want more. You have one cell phone, you will want 10 more cell phones. You have one house, you will want 10 more houses. That's how your heart is. Verbally you are saying Allah Ta'ala gives you risk, but you want everything in this world. You are going against that. You're not putting your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are running behind this world. You are chasing behind this world. Then aren't your words contradicting your actions? Aren't your words contradicting your beliefs? People say that finally they have to die, but they act in a way as if they would never die. Allah, Allah, Allah. Every person will say, you know, one day we have to leave. Today I'm here, tomorrow I have to leave. Tomorrow I have to go. Tomorrow is this. Tomorrow we will leave. When we go to a janazah, we'll say, one day is our turn. Yes, we all accept that one day we have to leave this world. But we are living in this world such, you know, as if we don't have to leave. As if, no, we will stay here forever. As if, no, you know, this is our place and this is where we will reside. This is where we will stay forever. This is not how a believer was supposed to be. How beautifully somebody has said that, Allahu Akbar, hai yahan se tujhko jana ek din. One day you have to leave this place. Qabr mein hoga thikana ek din. One day you will go in this grave of yours. Allah Allah, muh khuda ko hai dikhana ek din, apna ghaflat mein gawana ek din marna hai, aakhir maut hai, kar le jo karna hai, aakhir maut hai. In the end, you are going to leave, do whatever you want to do. You have to leave this world. You are a king, you are going to die. You are a rich person, you are going to die. You are a poor person, you are going to die. You are an African person, you are going to die. You are a white person, you are going to die. You are a red person, you are going to die. You are a master, you are going to die. You are a slave, you are going to die. You are male, you are going to die. You are a female, you are going to die. Whatever it is, in the end, you have to leave this world. But unfortunately, each one of us is spending our days, our times as if no, there is no end. There is no turning around. There is no dying. There is no leaving this world. Allah. It has been narrated very beautifully that if a person had constructed his home in an area which had lots of flood hazards. When he was asked, it's a very dangerous place, abandon it. There's lots of floods coming here. Why are you building your house in this area? A flood will come and your house will demolish. So he replied, I know that it is a dangerous place, but the beauty and the greenness of this place have greatly surprised me. He was asked, all the beauty and elegance are worth the life. Therefore, save your life and do not put yourself in danger. He said, I will not abandon this place at all costs. One night whilst he was sleeping, a flood came and he drowned in it and he died. People were telling him that save your life. Your life is important. Jaan hai to jahan hai. If you have this life, you have everything. So the wonders are beautiful. The green is nice. This is nice. This is nice. And he stayed. In the end, what happened? He left this world. He died. Just the example of this world. This world is shown to you beautiful. Yes, you have this wonder, you have this luxury, you have this beauty, you have this, you have that, you have that. But the reminder is there that, no, one day you are going to leave this world. Why are you preparing here? Why are you doing everything for this world? You will leave. And the answer, a person says, no, no, I love the beauty of this world. I love the glory of this world. I love the luxuries of this world. I love the comfort of this world. And when your death comes, then a person will leave this world. And he won't realize what happened to him. Likewise, an intelligent student of the final year, studying at a medical college of Faisalabad. This is a city, a beautiful place in Pakistan. The student of the final year of medical college, he went on a picnic with his friend. And reaching the picnic point, his friend went to the stream to swim. But he started drowning. The doctor of future, this future doctor, this one, this child who was going to become a doctor in future, he emotionally jumped in the water to save his friend. And he didn't know how to swim. So he also got in trouble. Fortunately, his friend who was in the water, who was drowning, he got out, right? And this person who was supposed to become a doctor in the future, he drowned. In order to save his friend, he drowned. And the one who he was supposed to save, he came out somehow. So, you know, they started going headlines around the only hope of parents. Old age became a victim of water. He was their Sahara. He was their support. Allah, the golden dreams of the parents, they couldn't come true. They desired that tomorrow my son will become a doctor, tomorrow he is going to look after us, he will do this, he will do that. But what happened? All of a sudden everything changed. He died, he drowned, and finished. His MBBS, his doctorate, whatever he studied, everything went to waste. The point which I'm putting to you, in front of you, is that you're not going to live in this life forever. One day or the other, you have to leave this world. One day or the other, you are going to leave this world. Then why aren't you preparing yourself for the hereafter? I'm not saying, nobody should say, Munasab is telling us, you know, don't do business, don't go and study, don't do this. No, 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 no. Do whatever you want to do. You need to live. You need to put food on the table. You need to feed your family. You need to look after your family. Do work. Yes, do your business. Do whatever you want to do. But at the same time, don't let that business, don't let those wonders, those luxuries of this world, don't let them divert you away from the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't let them take you away from the remembrance of Allah and His beloved and noble Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You must remember that this death doesn't come only at an old age. This is also another misconception people have. I'm young now, ma'azallah. They even say sentences that, you know, I'm young now, I'm not going to die now. I am young now. Nothing's going to happen to me now. Didn't you see young people leaving this world? Didn't you see babies leaving this world? Didn't you see children leaving this world? Can anyone claim that only elderly person who reached the age of 40, 50, only he died, only she died? Any young person didn't leave this world? Any child didn't leave this world? No. Any moment anything can happen, you can leave this world. Today, you know, you are speaking to somebody. The next day you hear the news that, you know, this person passed away. Yes, yesterday I spoke to him. It happens to us. Many of us noticed this year. And why are we still in this sort of heedlessness, in this senseless sleep? Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his last sermon, the last beautiful words of wisdom which he gave, it also contains these few beautiful words. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed this world upon you so that you prepare only for the hereafter through it. That's why this world was given to you. He has not bestowed it so that you only get busy with it. Means you only get busy with this world and you forget about the hereafter. The reason you are in this world is so you can prepare for the hereafter, for the afterlife. Undoubtedly, the world is mortal and the hereafter is immortal. I fear that this mortal world might deceive you into making you heedless of the hereafter. Do not prefer the mortal world to the immortal hereafter, because the world is going to end and undoubtedly we have to get back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a shield against His torment and a source to reach Him. How beautiful words of wisdom Sayyidina Usman Ghani is giving us. This world is a place where you have to prepare for the hereafter. You have to make yourself ready for the hereafter. It's not a place where you need to pump, you need to party, you need to enjoy yourself. No. Whatever you plant here, tomorrow you will receive. In English, as you say, as you sow, so shall you reap. what goes around comes around. Whatever you're going to do here, that's what you're going to get in the year after. You can't expect that in this world you are going to do every sort of beauty, every sort of luxury, every sort of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you know, in the year after you want to have the perfect afterlife. It doesn't work like that. Whatever you're going to do in this world, that is what you are going to attain and reap in the year after. So do something. I mean, these are words where you need to ponder, you need to think, you need to worry about yourself and ask yourself this question, what am I doing? Am I preparing myself for the year after? Am I doing something for the year after? Or am I just spending every moment of mine in ghaflat, in heedlessness, and in negligence? It's narrated that a pious person once found a gold brick, and out of the love of wealth, you know, he spent his entire night in making different plans, thinking of delicious foods, fine clothing, number of servants to serve him, you know, all of these beautiful things. What am I going to do here? What am I going to do there? What am I going to do with this money? With this money? His entire night he was happy. The wonders and the thinking of the comforts of the and the fantasies of the comforts and the luxuries and everything, he became totally heedless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that night. The next morning, with the same desire, wish and hope, he left his house, and by chance he passed by a graveyard. And when he saw, what he saw at the graveyard was that a man was, you know, kneading clay on the grave for making bricks. Seeing this scene, the scene touched his heart, and he woke up from the senseless sleep of his. He started crying, started weeping, and he started imagining, and he said, perhaps people will make bricks from the earth for my grave as well, after I leave, after my death. Alas, he said, my splendid houses and my fine clothes, etc., everything will become useless. My entire night I was spending thinking, I'm going to have this servant, this slave, this. Everything is going to come to an end. People are going to be making my bricks after I leave this world, after I die. So he said, if I have to fall in love, I'm not going to fall in love with the world. I'm not going to fall in love with the luxuries. I'm not going to fall in love with anything around me. No. If I'm going to fall in love, I'm going to fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he left that gold brick and he went on the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just one moment which takes a person to change his entire life. A person who has lots of, you know, desires, dreams and everything, it takes just one moment for him to realize that all my desires, all my dreams, everything will be shattered. Everything will remain here. I have to leave. I have to go. How should you be happy? In which state should you be happy? Sayyidina Aun bin Abdullah rahmatullahi ta'ala mentions, he says, alas, how heedless am I, though there will be no negligence at all in my accountability. He says, how can my life be pleasant though a very tough day is ahead of me? Why don't I become active in performing deeds, though I do not know when I will die? How should I be happy in the world, though I do not have to live here forever? Why should I prefer it, though before me the world harmed the one who preferred it? Why should I like it, though it will perish? Why should I be greedy for it, as my abode is somewhere else? Why should I feel sad for it, sad for the loss of this world? Because by Allah, I do not know how I will be treated due to my sins. Why should I be greedy for this world? I have to leave for the year after. Why should I be worried about this world? I have to prepare for the year after. Why should I be lost and drowned in this world when I saw the world turned against the person who was drowned and lost in this world? Why should I be worried about all of these things? No. I should be happy with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me. I should be razi, I should be content, I should be satisfied with whatever I receive from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in that little whatever I have, I should prepare myself for the year after. I should strive towards the year after. I should move towards the year after. Today is the time for action, not accountability. And tomorrow will be the day for accountability, not action. So do everything now, so tomorrow when there is accountability, then you are satisfied, and inshallah you will enter the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever you want to do, you have to do it now. Whatever you want to do, you have to prepare for it now. After looking at all of this, the question comes to mind that if only we turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and start preparing ourselves for the hereafter. Allah Akbar. We have come towards the end of today's silsila, and my words for you today is that remember, this world is not a place where you have to live forever. From this episode, take this lesson that we need to start preparing ourselves for the year after and working towards the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala keep you happy, be positive, think positive, stay positive. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant everyone abundance of goodness, abundance of happiness. We hope to see you soon, inshallah. Till we meet again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
The light of guidance, the light of guidance, the light of guidance, the light of guidance. The light of guidance, the light of guidance, the light of guidance.